My topic today is, are you processing your souls? Welcome to the Called Obedience Radio Ministry, and I'm Pastor Schulze. This broadcast is brought to you every week at this time over this station. Our Heavenly Father, we pray now for the divine anointing on the declaration of thy sacred word. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Now, my text today is from the Gospel of Luke. It is the end time passage of the Lord Jesus given to us in Luke 21. In the middle of this passage, Jesus says these words, "In your patience possess ye your souls." Or if you take the American Standard Version, "In your patience ye shall win your souls." Now, it is wonderful to win souls. It is a commission of Jesus for us to go and tell the story, to be engaged in a soul-winning process. We've heard many, many sermons on soul-winning. He that winneth souls is wise. But not only must we engage in the saving of other souls, my friend, we must engage in the saving and the winning and the possessing of our own souls. And that's what this text is all about. Think of it. Jesus is telling his disciples here, his apostles, to win their own souls. He's not talking to unbelievers. No, he's talking to believers. So Jesus said, "In your patience ye shall win your souls." So we see from this that it is possible for us to lose our souls. Many of the most pious of Christians have lost their own souls in the process of doing much for God. Now, one of the things many are doing that causes them to lose their souls is that they find fault with themselves. My message today is primarily to the saints of God. True followers of Jesus will not find fault with others. They will not find fault with their spouse. They will not find fault with the pastor. They will not find fault with brothers and sisters. For the Apostle Paul tells us, "Let us not therefore judge one another any more." But now, as we are called upon not to find fault with others, we also must not, as dear people of God, find fault with ourselves. The fault-finding spirit that we have directed toward others, when turned inward, when turned toward us, is just as bad. All of God's people are equally precious to Him. And just as God does not want us to find fault with and criticize others, He doesn't want us to dissect and cut ourselves to pieces. We must not find fault with that which God has redeemed, with that which God has purchased by His own precious blood, whether it is somebody else's soul or our own soul. In your patience possess ye your souls. We must leave the finding of fault within us to the Holy Spirit. God has sent the Holy Spirit, and this Holy Spirit will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Let us leave it to the Holy Spirit to bring to our attention that which is lacking within. For when the Holy Spirit does surgery on our souls, we always come out better persons, don't we? But when we begin to do surgery on our own souls, we always come out worse than we started. Who ever wants to do surgery on himself anyhow? It doesn't show much promise. Now, the Holy Spirit's conviction is always gentle. I'm talking about God's people being convicted. The Holy Spirit's conviction is always connected with hope, and it is always bathed in God's love. As a matter of fact, it is one of the signs of God's great love to us that He will convict us so that we might be cleansed, we might be formed, we might be made more and more into the likeness of Jesus. But just as there is a convicting power in the Holy Spirit, the devil has a counterfeit conviction program by which he will make us feel like a failure. His process, his program of conviction always has within its seeds of condemnation, of hopelessness, and of despair. We must know, my friend, the difference between the Holy Ghost's conviction and the devil's process of convicting us. The devil's process of convicting us will always try to keep us focused on the self, life, on our weaknesses, on our failures, on our past sins. It will endeavor to keep our faces in the mud, in the self-life. But God's Holy Spirit and the work of conviction will cause us to look to Jesus. It will cause us to look to the promises of God. It will cause us to not look behind us or to look at the past, because our past sins are already buried in God's sea of forgetfulness. I must also tell you that, my friend, when the true saint is convicted by the precious Holy Spirit, immediately the devil often will try to corrupt the beautiful, pure, holy conviction of the Holy Spirit. He tries to twist that conviction in an attempt to bring us to despair and hopelessness. So, my dear saint of God, be cautious. Be careful to possess your soul. Do not allow the devil to take you into discouragement and to hopelessness. Keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. God has already invested so much in you by giving his own son for you, by having him die for you, by having him raised from the dead for you, and by having him ascend to heaven to live there, making intercession for you. God, through Christ, invested so much in you that whatever sin or failure you might have, the cost of fixing that problem will never exceed the cost of his investment in having saved you to start with. Now, let me give you an illustration. Say, here's a man who has saved money sacrificially all his life. Finally, he wants to make an investment. He saved $1 million, and he buys a hotel, and he has it now debt-free. One day, he gets a report that there has been a plumbing leak on the first floor, and the water has ruined all the carpeting on that floor. He also gets a report that the ceiling in the basement is falling in, at least in one of the places. Now, let me ask you, what is this man going to do? Is he going to spend $20,000 to fix this problem, or is he going to destroy the whole building and lose his whole $1 million investment? Well, I think you know the answer. And so it is with Jesus, my friend. Jesus has invested so much in you, ever making intercession for you, that he'd rather fix you than destroy you or lose you in any one way. As long as you confess your sins, repent, and mean business, he will fix you and fix you and fix you. And if he has to do it 1,000 times or 1,000,000 times, the cost of him fixing you will never exceed what he put into you in the beginning, the investment he put into you to save you at the start. So, the Almighty God has absolutely no interest whatsoever in losing you, even though you may fail him many times. Yet, if you're serious, my friend, after every failure, you will be more determined to go all for God and to be more careful. In your patience possess ye your soul. So don't let the devil tell you that if you sin or fail here and there, God is done with you. He's now going to forsake you and destroy you. The devil is a liar. Jesus wants to fix you. He wants to cleanse you. He wants for you to repent, to confess, to start over again. And of course, he wants to be faithful and obedient to him. So Christ is coming to the world to save us and to save us to the uttermost. God has absolutely no interest whatsoever in one of his precious ones perishing. Oh, isn't it wonderful to have this love of God? So do not let the devil drag you to the altar and condemn you, but only go to the altar when the Holy Spirit calls you in love, in gentleness, in holiness, and in the fear of God. Conviction by the Holy Spirit will always make you a better person as you respond to it. But the conviction that comes from the devil will always make you more and more miserable, depressed, and hopeless. In your patience, possess ye, or win ye, your souls. Be patient with yourself. Be as patient with yourself as God is. Now, what is patience? How is patience created? Patience is created when we, God's people, don't get what we want, when we want it, and how we want it. Isn't it wonderful? Patience is good for us. For us not getting what we want, when we want it, is extremely, marvelously, and wonderfully good. You see, it leads to patience. And the more patience we have, the more we're able to possess our souls, the stronger we will be for God, the more God can do through us, with us, and in us. There are those who are impatient, who do good work for the moment, but their lives are like brilliant meteors. They are like bright momentary flashes in the eternal sky, but then they're gone. But those who are patient, who have learned patience, but not getting what they wanted, when they wanted it, and how they wanted it, are the lower lights on the seashore of God's precious kingdom, leading one soul after another into the harbor of God's rest. And they, my friend, shine, they shine forever. So in your patience, possess ye your souls. The more patience you have, the more long-suffering you will be, the more joyful you will be, the more, my friend, God can do in you and with you. Oh, I want you to notice that all the great characters in the Bible went through a school of great patience, not getting what they wanted to get, when they wanted to get it. All of them had to wait many long years. And in these long, long, long years, their root system, their spiritual root system, became deeper and deeper and stronger, so God could see them stand in the most difficult circumstances of life without bending over or breaking down. Abraham waited for 20 years to get his son. Moses had to wait to be used of God 40 years after he was serving the Egyptian court. And Anna had to pray for 80 years to see the Messiah come. So in closing, in your patience, possess ye, win ye your souls. Friends, know the difference between the Holy Spirit's convicting work and that of the devil. Know the greatness of not getting what you want, when you want it, and how you want it. Know the greatness and the marvel of patience in the possession of your souls. Yes, Jesus told us to win souls, yea, even our own souls. Our Father, we thank Thee for this time together. And we know that throughout the centuries, many, many of a wonderful, wonderful Christian who has led many souls into the kingdom of God has finally succumbed to the accusations on the fiery darts of the devil. We pray, Lord, through this message that the saints of God will be strengthened and lifted and encouraged, and not to allow the devil cut them down anymore. Thank you for speaking to us about the importance that, yes, even for those of us who walk with God, we still have to keep winning our souls, because it says, he that endureth to the end shall be saved. It is not just important that we start strong, but that we finish strong, having done all we could for our dear Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. For more messages just like this, you may go to my website, www.joyfulabiding.com. Again, that is www.joyfulabiding.com. May the Lord help you, and I will talk to you again next week at the same time over this station. Goodbye for now. I'm Pastor Schulze.